are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Time to go back and look at last season's roster as we grade the Spurs. And that's where we'll be putting the spotlight today, Jock Landale. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, Spurs writer for Ken's 5 San Antonio. Glad to have you back. And thanks for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts. We are putting Jock Landale on the spotlight today as we continue our season review. And, you know, putting individual players, and then at the end of all this, we'll put it all together and give a team evaluation. We've already looked at Jakob Poeltl. We looked at Primo. We looked at Trey Jones. We looked at Zach Collins. But we're going to wrap up the bigs and look at Jock today. He has a non-guaranteed deal. So how big of a offseason is it for him? Did he live up to the billing? Should he have getting more run and much, much more? To do that, I am joined by my good friend, Rudy Campos of Sweep the League. Rudy, welcome back to Lockdown Spurs. Glad to have you back. And briefly, I just want to just say, again, our thoughts and prayers are with the families and victims of the Uvalde shooting. Rudy, time to put the big man on the spotlight, huh?
Yeah, we got to put him on the spotlight, man. I mean, is he going to get a passing grade? I'm going to do a little foreshadowing. That's the question at hand. Will he get a passing grade?
You know, I thought about that. I was like, I don't know what, like, is it going to be a passing grade? Because there's so many pros and cons. You know, maybe give him a little bit of a pass here and there. You hear what I'm saying. So let's just dive into this. Mm-hmm. By the way, make sure to follow Rudy on Twitter at Sweep the League. He's going to tell you more about his show, Sweep the League. I think a new show came out recently, Rudy, I believe. I'm not too sure about that. But you can tell all the Spurs fans about that in just a few minutes. Jock Landale, the rookie big man, became an instant fan favorite. A lot of Spurs fans were cheering for him, clapping for him. He got up off the bench at the AT&T, and everybody started to just, you know, we want Jock. But let's get to the nitty-gritty. Your overall thoughts on the big man. What did you think about him in his rookie season?
The excitement was there from the moment that, you know, Spurs fans got to know him. I mean, he came in, you know, basically saying he's not your typical big man. You know, we know he could stretch the floor, which is something that the Spurs needed, a big man that could stretch the floor, that could shoot it from the three-point range, and not with too much consistency, but a lot better than what they have at the moment right now. We got excited, you know, seeing him in Austin. I mean, he looked like really a man amongst kids in Austin for a few of the games that he played. But then getting called up to the big leagues, I mean, we saw some of his struggles. We saw him being exposed. But we also saw a little bit of potential there in a few games.
I'm glad you brought up the Austin thing because, you know, just like any other rookie in the Spurs system of late, you know, you go through that process, Austin Spurs, and you're right. He didn't play that much in Austin. I think about two, three games at most, but Even then, I mean, he was just, you know, he had no business playing up there. He was just wrecking everything. One thing that he said coming into the Spurs season and his rookie season was that he can shoot the piss out of the ball. And we saw that. And that's exactly what the Spurs need, a stretch big. But for as much as he can knock down that outside shot, really, let's be honest, there's a lot to work on with him. Let's start off with the defensive end. He got cooked a few times, didn't he?
Yeah, and that's something I remember talking to you about on a Locked On Spurs episode, probably the game of the season. I felt like his defense was going to be exposed a lot. I mean, yeah, he can shoot the piss out of the ball. He's got a little scorer's mentality. But when you're a rookie in the NBA, especially at the big man position, they cook you pretty darn quick. I mean, it's so fast and so much more than what you're used to. It's going to take a year or two to get adjusted to that league.
Yeah, look at some of the numbers now from the rookie. 54 games played in San Antonio, started one game, about 11 minutes per game, 4.9 points, 2.6 rebounds per game, about one assist. Let's look at that three-point shooting. He took 89 threes, Rudy, made 29 for 33% shooting. And, this is where I struggle with him because, okay, fine, you're a rookie in the NBA. We get it. You know, you're playing at the highest level of competition. But Rudy, he's a non-traditional rookie. He came in with pro experience. He was the MVP, I believe, of the the Australian Basketball League, at least the, or the finals. Like he led that team, the Melbourne team, to the championship. Mm-hmm. Played in the Olympic stage with Patty Mills. Do you factor that in when you look at his performance? Should it have been better? Should we expected more?
Man, you know, that is the million-dollar question, because when you have an international player that has a bunch of international experience, especially at a young age when he started, and getting the Olympic experience too, you would think that he would come in and provide, you know, a little bit more than what he did. And like I said, it's not a negative thing. I mean, he is a rookie still trying to get adjusted to, you know, the NBA, which is a lot faster than any other league out there. But, I mean, you would expect a guy with that kind of – I can't really use the word veteran because he was a rookie, but with that kind of experience, you would think he'd come in and provide a little bit more than what he did. And I'm saying that probably in a harsher term, but, I mean, because he did help out, it just wasn't what I – and I think a lot of other people might have expected from him.
Yeah, let's look at some of you know, his numbers here. You know, didn't really close out the season. Look at the last three games. You know, 2 points against Dallas on April 10th and a loss. 6 points against the Warriors April 9th and a loss. 2 points against the Blazers April 3rd. Did have 11 rebounds in that Golden State loss on April 9th. But all in all, you know, just erratic. You know, look at his three-point shooting. Okay, fine. Maybe he helped the Spurs in that department. Didn't take a shot in the last game he played at Dallas. Again, this is talking about the regular season, not the play-in game. And then went 1-for-6 against Golden State, 0-for, or didn't take a shot against that Portland. I remember when the Spurs had that back-to-back home-and-home yeah. thing with the Blazers. You know, I do give him a pass because it is the NBA. I do give him a pass because he didn't get that much burned. But the million-dollar question is, another one is, is his future secured in San Antonio? Right now, Rudy, he's on a non-guaranteed deal. Non-guaranteed. Now, the Spurs can play with that position. We know that the drafts, you know, a lot of the mock drafts have the Spurs picking a big, whether it be a center or a forward. There's Jakob Poeltl there. There's Zach Collins. Do you think Landale may be a casualty? Like, do you think he may be let go to make room for perhaps a big that they draft, that the Spurs draft in the upcoming draft?
Well, considering he's got a non-guaranteed contract going into the year, I mean, he's probably the first one out the door no matter what. You've got Zach Collins, who showed some towards the end of the season when he got back onto the roster. So I think you got to give more of a pass to Collins than you do Jock Landale. But it's going to depend on what the Spurs do this offseason. You've got three first-round picks. One of them, hopefully, fingers crossed, is a big somewhere in there, whether it be at 9, 20, or 25. But you also got to remember the free agency part. You got, you know, guys like Mo Bamba, who's out there from Orlando, who's going to be available. Mm-hmm. And that's another guy that the Spurs could target. So depending on what the organization does this offseason, whether it's move Jakob to grab another big, a more athletic big, or to maybe go out and get a Mo Bamba, I really feel with Jock, it was kind of a one-and-done type thing. It's only going to really work for him if the Spurs need some more depth at that position. And even at that, you're probably looking at more Austin playtime for him.
Yeah, again, he's on a non-guaranteed deal as we speak. This offseason would be very important for him. He's got to come in shape to training camp. He's going to have to show out in training camp. He's going to have to show out in preseason games. Again, if the Spurs, you know, decide to, you know, see what he has to make that a guaranteed deal. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, would not be surprised if a release comes out from the Spurs saying, you know, they've waived Landale. I think he should be invited to training camp. I think that will happen. You're more than likely, I mean, I think it'd be for his benefit to play at the Spurs Summer League team in Vegas this summer. I think it is. You know, Joe Wieskamp has already said he's going to be joining the Summer League Spurs. You know, I think Landale needs to go there too, but we're not done talking about Jock Landale. We're going to give our final thoughts and give him a grade when we get back. But before we do that, I want to talk to you about Rock Auto. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to keep up with every single part that you may need. That's why you got to go to rockauto.com. It's family-friendly. All their prices are considerably lower than the competition. You really want to go to rockauto.com. You got a computer. Go to rockauto.com right now. Go on your cell phone. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. And those prices I talked about, they're reliably low for each and every customer. You need brake parts, they got it. Tail lamps, they got it. Motor oil, they got it. New carpet, they got it. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Again, go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck and write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. You need to go to rockauto.com right now. We're back with Rudy Campos. He's with Sweep the League, and we are looking back at Jock Landale's rookie season and pretty much putting a cap on it and giving our thoughts on how he did. All right, Rudy, you know, we see that he can do some stuff at the G League level. We established that, you know, when he did get some playing time with the Spurs, he had his moments, you know, but again, like every rookie, you know, ups and downs, it happens. But of course, as you've talked about, there was that, hey, he came in as a non-traditional rookie. You know, he had a pro experience. Moment of truth, Rudy, your overall thoughts and what is your grade?
Looking back at Jock, I mean, like I said, the whole foreshadowing thing earlier was, is he going to get a passing grade? You're talking about a big guy who only had one double-double the entire year, which was against the Clippers when he had 10 points, 11 rebounds. His best game scoring-wise, I believe, came against Indiana where he had 26 points, and that was in 35 minutes. So, I mean, like I said, there was spurts. He had games where he had 14 points. He had games where it was 10, 11 points. You saw it here and there. The only thing that I think saved him for the season was that he was shooting 33% from three-point range. If Pop would have dived back into the Spurs vault, using him the way he did Danny Ferry back in the day, kind of leaving him in the corner and just get that open three shot every now and then, kind of similar to what Bruce Bowen was doing for a little while there, I think would have benefited Landale a lot more. But then again, you're kind of wasting the reason for having a big, knowing that you need him down low too. But overall, man, just the typical grade I'd give him. I'm not going to fail him. He's not going to get an F from me. It's pretty much a D. I was looking at D minus, but I'm going with a D on him. Traditional, not your traditional rookie, but I think he got enough burn that to where I feel like there was, should have been some production there. I think if you're a big, you should be able to at least get more rebounds than you did, being that you're down below. Scoring I can get over, but I just didn't see a whole lot of Jock, and not even towards the end of the season did I see it to where it made me want to give him a higher grade than that.
Yeah, you want to be a little lenient considering he is a rookie in the NBA, but at the same time, you're kind of like, well, Jock, you know, maybe there's a lot more to work on. There's a lot to work on, especially on the defensive end. You know, and look, the Spurs definitely need to stretch big. And I know a lot of Spurs fans are probably listening to you and me saying, well, he's it. Look at him. He's a stretch big. He's knocking him down. But they it's still not enough. That's been the knock on the Spurs big man department. And look, we love Jakob. He definitely brings it. One of the better Spurs. But he lacks on the offensive end. He can't stretch the floor like Jock can. But Jock can't defend the paint and the rim the way Jakob can. That's what it feels like, Gritty, right? With these bigs that the Spurs currently have, it's Jakob, tremendous defensive player, gets numbers, but he has to really do the pick and roll cleanup work, but he can't stretch the floor for us. And then Zach Collins, you're like, the jury's still out. You know, can he sustain this for a full year before, you know, hopefully he doesn't get hurt? And then you got an unproven rookie with Jock Landale. I really thought that Jock would take a little minutes from Zach, but I think we saw a lot more Zach towards the end of the season than we did Jock, you know. And look, I mean, yeah, this is tough, man. I'm gonna be a little lenient. I'm gonna give a C minus. I get it. He didn't get that much burn, you know. The minutes, I mean, what did we say? He was just averaging, just like barely anything out of the court. About 11 minutes a game, you know. So you know, what can he do with 15, 18? You know, don't know yet. But yeah, I think you're right, though, Rudy. I think he is going to be a casualty of the roster. Look, I think he'll land somewhere either in the NBA or definitely overseas, you know, back to Australia. He just won the Male Athlete of the Year award. Like, it's like the ESPYs for Australia. Think of that. He got awarded that for his accomplishments representing Australia, you know, the Spurs, and of course, the Olympic team, whatnot. But yeah, the Spurs, I think they should, they really should think about opening up a spot, you know, for that rookie if they do draft a big or they go out and get a quality big. You know, you heard the Spurs being linked to DeAndre Ayton. You know, you mentioned Mo Bamba out there. I think the Spurs are probably better served going that route than bringing back Jock. But yeah, yeah, I think so too. By the way, you know, we're talking about bigs right now. What do you think about the Spurs link to Ayton? Are you an Ayton fan? Would you like seeing him in a Spurs uniform?
Considering he's probably going to be the best big available through a sign and trade, I would say definitely yes. I mean, he answers a lot of the questions that you need answered at that position. I still have some doubts on some of his game and even his mental game a little bit as well. But again, I would definitely take a flyer on DeAndre Ayton because he is a game changer and he's the type of player that can really benefit playing alongside DeJounte Murray. So I would definitely take a flyer on DeAndre Ayton.
So what did you give him? You gave Landale a D or a D plus?
A D.
What did you give him?
A D. They couldn't give him the plus sign.
You can't give the plus, and I gave him a C minus. So yeah. Yeah, we know what that averages out to, just a D. It goes out to Rudy's grade. But yeah, but we want to hear from you. What do you think about Jock Landale's rookie season? Do you agree with our grade? Should we have been a lot more generous? You're going to be a lot more lenient? Are you expecting him to be back in Spurs colors? I'm not. I don't think he will, but we'll definitely see. Yeah. When we get back, we're going to be looking at some Spurs news and notes that you may have a miss. But before we do that, with the NBA draft right around the corner, it's time to get beefed up on everything you need to want to know about the Spurs. Hey, they got 3 first round picks, so make sure to go check out Locked On NBA Big Board. Host Rafael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thuling, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock draft, player rankings, and of course, big boards. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Go check Host Haste. And yeah, we want to talk to you about Truebill. Truebill is a way to get you some money back in your pocket. Look, do you have those free trials, you know, that renew without your consent? Why does that happen? Well, because it's a business scam out to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill and take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is the all-new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't want, need, or just forgot about. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill. And because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel, Truebill makes it very simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in just one tap. You got yourself a Truebill concierge. It's there for you whenever you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions so you don't have to. I love Truebill. They save me so much money. I use it. You should use it too. By the way, over 2 million users have Truebill and it's helped them save over $100 million. So don't fall for subscription scams anymore. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now, Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands of years. Back with Rudy Capos right here on Locked On Spurs. And we just finished giving out Jock Landale our season grade. But it's time to catch you up on some Spurs news and notes. Rudy, you've been losing a lot of weight. You know, you tell me that you're on this weight loss program that has been paying off. But are you in shape enough to scale Mount Fuji to show your fandom?
Oh, God. I think I'm scared when I go to North Star Mall and I have to park on the second level of the garage and look down. That's how afraid of heights I am. So I'm going to say no matter how in shape I am, I will never be able to climb a mountain, period. But that is awesome. That is kind of cool what you had put about the whole Spurs thing.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you want to go to kensfi.com right now. A Spurs fan who lives out in Japan put it out there that he is prepping for a hike, if you will, up Mount Fuji in Japan. His goal is to plant a Spurs flag on there. Go check it out at kens5.com. And other Spurs news. This is interesting. What are your thoughts on this? There's a report out there that the Spurs owner, Peter J. Holt, is rumored to possibly purchase Mexican soccer club, Querétaro FC. The report says, this is by Sportico, that any pursuit of the team, Rudy, is separate and apart from Spurs Sports and Entertainment. Also among those people with Holt that are looking to put a package together is RC Buford. What did you think about this? Do you think this is just the Spurs push to expand the brand, or maybe bringing Querétaro FC to San Antonio? What were your thoughts on this?
When I first saw it, and I actually saw it through you, being reported and, you know, announced on it, I kind of got a little giddy on it, to be honest with you. I haven't really followed soccer a whole lot till lately, so I started to understand a little bit more about soccer, and I was kind of ecstatic because a team like that, FC, coming over here. First off, we got to make sure that they will relocate to San Antonio. That's the biggest part. I mean, considering they may be purchasing them, but they may have to stay in Mexico to play. But if they were to come to San Antonio, I mean, from what I understood, they've been here before and have sold out. I think it was the Alamo Dome or wherever they played here. So that kind of just shows you the impact that soccer has here. So I'm all for it. I mean, adding another, you know, major league team here would be absolutely perfect for the city of San Antonio. So I wish them the best of luck on getting it and hope that they can get everything squared away to where they can bring the team here.
Yeah. Again, this is just a rumor. This is rumblings out there, but it is interesting because before this report came out, Rudy, what was said, you know, the Spurs are looking to play a game in Mexico City next year. Although, you know, that's the direction, you know, the expanding of the brand, you know, this would be a great way if Holt does end up buying this. And if the report is true, obviously, that, hey, you know, wouldn't be surprised if you're watching a Mexico soccer team and then you're seeing the Spurs logo just pop up somewhere in one of those stadiums. So if that's his goal to expand the brand, then that is perfect. You know, and you're right. I didn't think about that too. Bringing Querétaro to San Antonio. I didn't think about that because really, correct me if I'm wrong, is Liga MX, which is the Mexican league, it's a big league, right? It's kind of one of the more premier leagues, isn't it?
If I'm not mistaken, like I said, I'm not really 100% sure on soccer stuff. I'm still learning it, but I really do think it's one of the premier leagues in Mexico, for sure.
Yeah, this is interesting. We're going to be monitoring this. According to the report, the Spurs did not respond to that report. So they're kind of tight-lipped. Shocking, Rudy, huh? Spurs are tight-lipped? No. Yeah. We don't say.
Oh, yeah. Spurs, it's hard to believe.
All right. You can check it out again at kensfi.com/Spurs for more details and other Spurs news. And I want to get this, and I haven't asked you yet, and I've been meaning to, is, wow, I take it the Spurs fans do not like the new alternate logos, do they? What are your thoughts on them? Did you see that backlash?
I did. And I think I even messaged you one on it. Like, why are they getting so upset over this? I guess with me, I like them because I'm old school. I like the old school Spurs look, but it kind of brought back a little bit of the old school feel in it, with the basketball, you know, the lettering. I understand the whole SATX type thing. That was kind of cool, but I'm a very simple person. I don't need the whole, you know, extravaganza logos or anything like that. I mean, I'm a jeans and black t-shirt type guy, so I'm pretty basic. And when I saw the logos, I liked them with the exception of the Texas one. I kind of started looking at it like, I don't know about that one. I get it, but I don't understand it too much. So the other two logos I'm actually fine with, but I did see the backlash. I'm kind of curious as to why fans didn't like it. I just saw backlash. I didn't really get a true understanding or anyone come out and say, this is why I don't like this logo. And I'm still appalled that it got so much backlash on it.
Man, did it. It was just, it was bad. I mean, they piled on those logos. I like the Texas one where look at the Spurs kind of like cutting through Texas. But the other ones, I don't get it. I mean, did you see that too? They're already at Ross. You can find shirts over at Ross. That's crazy.
Yeah, I need to hit up my local Ross and see if I can get one.
You know what? I do think those alt logos will look good in a baseball cap, though.
I think they might look good. I definitely like it. I mean, I like it. I don't know why. I don't now how they're going to work on jerseys. I don't know, but I do like it. I hope we do get that old San Antonio jersey back. That old bourbon violet.
Yeah. That's the worst kept secret right now. It's already been leaked. It's already been leaked that they are coming out. So
they are. Okay.
They were coming out. One of those jersey websites that monitor jerseys already put it out. Yeah, it's just the old school ABA look. That's finally here. That Alamo Dome game is going to be nice, though. I hope they wear those on that game.
You know, I'm gonna tell you right now. Now that they're coming out, I'm gonna go order probably 10 of them, and we're talking, you know, Larry Keenan, Kobe Dietrich. I'm gonna go old school and just buy a ton of them.
Yeah, was it Silas and
Donnie Moore?
You know the Gervin family. Maybe they can hook you up with one of the old school, like a real authentic jersey.
Ooh, I'm gonna have to beg Derek and George for that.
And finally, another Spurs news. Joe Wieskamp spoke with the Quad City, said that it was a challenge for him last season of not getting that playing time, going through the grind, although he did appreciate it. He did say, these are the steps, the building blocks. He appreciated his time in Austin, but he did admit it was a challenge for him, especially playing in garbage time. But this is just the path that he's going to have to take, isn't it, Rudy?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about Joe Wieskamp. What he benefits the most from is that he can knock down the outside shot and be very consistent with it. He's just going to have to buy his time with the organization. His time will come. I really feel like he's going to be a part of the Spurs' future within the next year or two.
Yeah, I mean, the Spurs need outside shooting. He definitely has that. Interesting, though, he did say that he will be working with Chip Englund over this offseason, more on speed, getting the shot quicker. So he said that he's going to be working with Chip on that. He was forgotten, I think, a lot of the times last season because of Primo. Primo stole the spotlight. And, of course, Wieskamp, majority of the time, was in either in Austin or buried in the bench. But I like the kid. I think he has a lot of upside. You know, I think he definitely brings a little dimension to the Spurs. He's young. He's long. He's getting better at defense, and he's committed. He's committed. By the way, he did say that he and his fiance love San Antonio. He said they love it. He said that his fiance loves San Antonio more because of the laid back vibe. So he hopefully he can stick around and enjoy San Antonio for many years to come. Hey, but we're done talking. We want to hear from you, Rudy. Tell us about how Spurs fans can interact with you and Sweep the League.
Yeah, you can definitely find me on Twitter. Just go to @SweepTheLeague. You'll find me there. You can find me on Facebook as well. Search Rudy Campos Jr. I'm on Instagram actually now too, which is kind of crazy. But you can follow me across all social media. Sweep the League, we've been back for 2 weeks now. We record on Wednesday nights. The episode usually comes out Wednesday. If not, it's definitely Thursday morning. We just did a nice little episode last night talking about the NBA playoffs and also the NFL Pro Bowl. Last but not least, we're actually going to be out this local. A lot of people are local here, so we got a local boxing event this weekend. The TMB Promotions will be out there covering that for everybody. Come out and say hi. And again, from all of us here at Sweep the League, as like Jeff mentioned, you know, prayers for everybody at Uvalde, a terrible tragedy, but we are having everybody in our prayers for that.
Absolutely. Make sure to check out Sweep the League. It is a fun show, and I like it just because it gets me away from just Spurs stuff all the time. You know, the boxing angle you guys do, wrestling angle you do. I think in season when UTSA football, y'all talk about that. Good show. By the way, are we pulling for Derek White now? It looks like he's on the verge of going to the NBA Finals. One more game.
He was my pick when you and I talked.
That's right.
I said I'm going for Derek White to win that title. One game away from being in the finals. I'm crossing my fingers that he gets that title. He deserves it.
Can you imagine if he gets it and he probably looks back at that trade and be like, whew. Ooh, man, it wasn't so bad after all that I'll be on the verge of going to the finals and perhaps winning one. Yeah, just five more wins and he gets it. Well, we'll see what happens. Yeah, but good luck to Derek White and Ime and Will Hardy. So we'll see what happens to them. But yeah, look, We always thank you for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day. Now make your second listen be Locked On NBA, from the first jump ball of the play-in tournament to the last possession of the finals. Locked On experts take you deep inside playoffs with insight and analysis affecting all 30 teams. And subscribe to Locked On Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcasts, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, where it's all there. We got you covered each and every day. And by the way, Rudy, are you ready for tomorrow? Tomorrow might be too much to handle. There's so much tomorrow. It's Maverick comes out. Then you got the final season of Stranger Things. I don't know if you're a fan of Stranger Things, but I love Stranger Things.
I am. I'm not ready for it, but I'm ready for it.
And then the cherry on top is the premiere of Kenobi. It's too much for me to handle.
I'm glad it's a three-day weekend coming up. I'm going to definitely need every second of it.
I already have my strategy. I think I'm going to watch the final season of Stranger Things in the morning. This is how I plan it out. And then if time permitting, you know, sneak out to go see Maverick. Because, by the way, I heard the reviews. The reviews say it's nuts. Like, it's, like, really phenomenal. And then end the night, or maybe just start the next day with Kenobi. But that's because I want to end it right, because I have a lot of hopes for Kenobi. I like that McGregor's back. I like that Hayden Christensen's back. I like a lot of the lore. But, I don't want to get my hopes too high, because then I'll get very, very upset. You know how it comes to Star Wars and media, Rudy. It's got to be perfect.
Yeah, I know, man. And that's the same way I feel. I just feel like, you know, with Mandalorian was out, terrific. Then you had the Book of Boba Fett was kind of a little bit lower than what I expected. Like, man, it could have been better. So I'm kind of like you. I'm kind of hoping Kenobi does knock it out of the ballpark.
It has to. Please don't fail me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. But for
Rudy, our only hope.
Obi-Wan Kenobi, your only hope. So for Rudy Jedi Knight Campos, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.